I was going to start a brand new series this Sunday, and I decided to actually just stop before the series and talk about the series, because it's really more than a series. It's actually more of a campaign. It's a time that I want us to set aside and really begin in seven areas of our lives. These are the critical areas of our lives, in seven areas. I want us to be willing to settle down and look at what it takes in these key areas to have God on the throne of our lives. Thrones. Over and over, the Bible talks about the kingdom of God, and it talks about the kingdom of this world. Jesus talked about it, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. Every kingdom has someone that reigns over it. In our lives, what does it mean to have Christ on the throne of your life? What does it mean for him to be Lord of your life? We're going to look at that. Not just for the next 3 weeks or 4 weeks. We are actually going to take seven more weeks. And instead of starting it this morning, I actually wanted to stop and talk to our church about what does it mean to do, how are we to get ready for these 7 weeks? Because I believe these 7 weeks are a bigger deal than we probably will realize at first. Last Sunday, we had an absolutely wonderful day. Last weekend, we had over 845 people here on our campus. We had 8 people surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. We had 22 people baptized right outside here. Leading up to Easter Sunday, I was very intentional about what God was doing. Very intentional about taking 3 weeks and just setting them aside to talk about prayer. Listen, I want that heart and that attitude for our church family to continue as we walk through this entire, not just a series, but it's really a campaign. It's bigger than a series. It's a 7, actually 8 weeks now, including today, that we're gonna set aside and really just relax and look at what it is that God has and what it is God would like to do in our lives. Let me give you the 7 areas. Spiritually is one area. What does it take to put him on the throne of our lives spiritually? What does it take physically, our physical bodies? What does it take emotionally, mentally? What does it take? What does it take in our finances? What does it take in our relationships? And not just that, what does it take in our career or our job, our vocation? We're going to look at all 7 of those areas together. And I'm not going to teach them all. I want you to hear from more of our team than you have ever heard from before. So you're going to hear from more of the leaders here in our church team. I'm going to do some team teaching with some of the leaders. We're just really going to take these 7 weeks and look at what it is God has to say and what does God want to do in our lives. Because when he's on the throne in our lives flourish. When he's on the throne in these 7 areas, those areas begin to flourish. Even when we, in any of those areas, may go through a difficult time, here's what you can know. You know for sure that when you're cruising along and it's going great, that God is working. When it's cruising along and going really difficult, that God is also working. Spiritual growth. Your spiritual growth is important. It's important to you, and it's important to Camelback. It's extremely important. Most problems in life come from spiritual immaturity. That's where we get most of our problems, because we're spiritually immature. You know why? Because we make dumb decisions. We make decisions based on how we feel. Most of the time, we make our decisions based on how we feel. And usually, our feelings are wrong when we're making decisions. It's no different than our nation. Our world's problems today, our nation's problem. We have a national debt of over $21 trillion. You know what that is? That's because of immaturity. We as a nation, the leaders that we have, Republicans and Democrats, the leaders that we have put in positions are making decisions to spend more money than we have and to borrow even more money. You know what that's called? That's called immaturity. Wanting more than we really can afford. And we do it in our lives. You know what mature people base their decisions on? The truth. If Congress would look at the fact that we don't have that money, we can't spend it, they wouldn't be going every single year into more and more debt. And that's not God's will for our lives. It's God's will for our lives, for your life, for my life, that we grow. That's what His will is. We've been dedicating a number of babies lately. There's another one coming in the second service. Babies are cute. Kids are cute. But a baby that doesn't grow up, that's not cute. That's actually tragic. And there are people in our lives. You can grow old and never grow up. You can grow old and never spiritually grow up. You can grow old and never emotionally grow up. God wants us to grow. He wants us to grow up, and He wants us to be spiritually strong. And growth is His will. Look what Paul writes in Ephesians. He writes this. He said, we are not meant to remain as children. Children. Babies eat Gerber. You eat steak. And babies can't eat steak. We are not meant to remain as children at the mercy of every chance, wind, or teaching. You know what that would be? That would be immaturity. You fall for anything that comes along. He says, that's not where He wants you to be. Instead, we are meant to hold firmly to the truth in love and to grow up in every way to Christ. We are meant to grow in every area of our lives. Luke 2:52 says Jesus grew. He grew spiritually. He grew physically. He grew mentally. He grew emotionally. He grew socially. He grew in every single way. If you want a picture of maturity, that's Jesus. He grew in every way. God has systems and principles in place. The law of gravity is a principle that God put in place. It will work every single time. It's a principle. Physics, the laws of physics, they work in our universe. God designed them. The second natural law of thermodynamics, one of my absolute favorite laws, is put in place. And our whole universe operates because of these laws. And God has put them in place, and they all work. And just like He has put in place physical laws and principles, He has put in place spiritual laws. And these spiritual laws work. And they're intended for your growth and for my growth. And if you cooperate with them, you will grow. I got to tell you, as your pastor, you know, and it's such a privilege, and it's so wonderful to see not just our first service, but our second service, and the people that God has here, and the hearts and lives that He's working in and changing. It's the one thing that I want for us as a church family is in every way to grow. Not just grow in numbers. We want that because that's God's plan. He wants us reaching more people, but to grow. And that happens when you and I allow Christ to be on the throne of our lives. And not just the big throne, all of the seven areas that we are going to look at over the next 7 weeks. And if you're taking notes this morning, as a matter of fact, make sure you take notes. And as you go to your life groups, take your notes with you to your life groups. We're going to dig in even deeper on this. And we're going to allow God as a church family to use this in our lives. And I'll talk more about life groups even in the middle of my talk this morning. But we grow when God is on the throne of our lives. When God is on the throne of our lives, you and I grow. And we grow when we, number one, we feed on God's word. When we feed on God's word. You can't be spiritually healthy unless you're feeding on truth. And this is Sunday morning. This is like the Sunday brunch, spiritually. This is just like the Sunday brunch. And you wouldn't go out to eat Sunday after this service and then go home and spend Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday without eating. You wouldn't do that. It'd be a great diet, but it wouldn't be healthy at all, and you wouldn't have the strength to get through the week. We need to feed regularly. We need to be daily looking at what it is God has for us to do. We need food every single day. Otherwise, we will be spiritual wimps. We're talking this series. Look what Jesus has to say about this in Matthew. Jesus says, people need more than bread for their life. They need peanut butter and jelly too. No, Jesus didn't say that. He said, people need more than bread for their life. They must feed on every word of God. A little bit every day will go a long, long way. Daily strength. Look what Paul says when Luke records it in Acts. He says, Paul says this. He said, the word of grace, meaning the Bible, is able to build you up and give you all the blessings that God has for his people. Would you like to have the blessings that God has for all of his people? Is William the only one that wants to have the blessing for him? You see, there's some gifts that you cannot give to a baby. It would destroy the baby. There's some gifts that you cannot give to a child because it would destroy the child. There are some gifts that God wants to give you, but he's waiting for you to grow some more before he can give you those gifts. Sunday is not enough. The Air Force did a study. I've repeated this a number of times. We forget 95% of everything that we hear within 72 hours. Wednesday morning, if I asked you any questions about what we talked about this morning, you would only remember 5% of it. And it probably wouldn't even be the valuable 5%. Because we tend to, stuff leaks out of us. I'm going to be asking, as we for the next 7 weeks, guys, are you willing to give God 5 minutes of every day? 5 minutes or 10, maybe 15. Are you willing to stop every single day and give him 5 or 10 minutes? You're taking notes this morning. Take those notes home with you. Put them on your nightstand with your Bible. When you get up in the morning, just go back to these notes. And you don't even have to go through all of it. Just give God 5 or 10 minutes every single day. Do you know why? Because at the end of 8 weeks, you will actually not be the same person that is sitting here this morning. And we're going to look at 7 different areas, 7 key areas. And you say, James, you're kind of really pushing. You bet your life I'm pushing this. I am your pastor. I'm your coach. And God want, and listen, we're doing great. Our churches, I love what God's doing in the heart and lives of our people. But this is a time. Let's take these 8 weeks. Let's turn the grill up a little bit more. Let's turn the grill up a little bit for what it is that God has for us. The reality is that these 7 weeks can be huge in our lives. I'm going for that. I'm looking for that in my own personal life. We also grow because we learn in different ways. We are all different. God has, the more science learns, the more science learns about the human body, the more science learns about God's creation, the more it confirms. The Bible says we are beautifully and wonderfully made. Our bodies are they're wonderfully complex, the scripture says. And he made us all different. We're all unique. Every single one of us has a different DNA. Even identical twins are different in thousands of ways. He is not just our fingerprint. Now science is learning that our eye, no two people have the same eye. Our footprints are not the same. Our DNA, our heartbeats are not the same. We are unique. We are every one of us. And the reality is we even learn differently. Look what Luke says about John the Baptist. He says, in many ways, John preached the good news to the people, and he did it in many ways. Why did he do it in many ways? Because we all learn in different ways. Some of us learn better by listening. That's auditory. We listen. We like to. We want to hear it. You hear it. You get it. It's solved. Those are the people that love to sit in church and listen to be taught. We learn mainly by listening, and some of us learn by watching and reading. We're more visual. I'm more visual than anything else. If I sit in front of my computer and I want to watch what a pastor is sharing somewhere, I can't turn to the audio and just listen to it. I gotta be listening and I gotta be seeing. That's the way I learn the best. It's more of a don't tell me about it. Show me. Show me and tell me, and I'm happy. Some of us learn by talking. We kind of talk it through, and those are the people that absolutely love life groups. And you can't do that in a large group like this. You can't. Matter of fact, if you do that, one of our guest services might come and help you to another part of our campus, because that's just not what we do here on Sunday mornings. In fact, all of us know people whose mind doesn't work until they actually put their mouth in gear. Different style of learning. And there are people who say, I don't like to listen. That's not how I learn. I don't like to talk, and I don't like to read. And those are called men. And it's a generalization. But there's a lot of truth to that, because a lot of us, just give me the wrench and get out of my way, and I'll work on it. Nobody learns to play football by reading a manual. There's a whole kinesthetic kind of learning that some guys are, it's just where they are. Just don't give me the instructions. I'll put it together. Job 33:14 says, God speaks in different ways, and we don't know ways, and we don't always, rather, recognize his voice. He speaks in so many different ways, and sometimes we don't recognize it. The third thing is, for God to be on the throne of our life, and for us to learn from him being on the throne of our life, the third thing is, we must develop spiritual habits. Over these next 7 weeks, My prayer is that you and I would be willing to learn a few more habits. A lot of them we probably already know about and we're not doing, me included. But you know what the harsh reality is? Your habits determine what you are. And what you are determines where you go in life. That is the harsh reality. Your habits and my habits, they determine who we are. And that, my friend, determines where we go in life. And this very life is God's gift to us. And what we do with this life is our gift back to Him. It is really, really that simple. You can say, well, I'm a kind person. But if you're not habitually kind, if you're only 25% kind, you're not a kind person. You need to be habitually kind. But James, I'm an honest person. 50% of the time I'm honest. Unless you are habitually honest, you're not honest. I could turn to Karen and say, you know what, hon? I'm going to be faithful to you 26 days out of the month. Partial faithfulness is unfaithfulness. Habits. Is it a way of life? Is it something you just automatically do on a regular basis? How do you develop habits? Look at this from John 13. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed. Circle that word blessed in your notes. You'll be blessed if you practice them. Underline practice. That word blessed and that word practice are put together. And that is a reality. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you practice them. You know what's interesting there? You don't get God's blessing for just knowing them. You get His blessing for doing the right thing and doing it over and over again. That's when we get His blessing. Solid food, Hebrews 5:14. Look what he says here. Solid food is for mature people. Mature people whose minds have been trained by practice. Underline, trained by practice to know the difference between good and evil. You know what trained by practice means? It means a habit. A habit. The reason we have problems in life is because we make bad decisions. Should I do this or should I do this? Is this right or is this right? And we're actually confused. Is this wrong or is that wrong? Do you know how you make wise decisions? You make wise decisions by becoming spiritually mature. When you and I, when we're willing to take His word and apply it in our lives and develop the habits in our lives that we're going to talk about over these next 7 weeks in the different areas of our lives, if we're willing to do that, we will move forward in spiritual maturity. And you know what's wonderful about living in a blessed life? It is not a stressed life. You cannot have a blessed life and be stressed. If you have one, you won't have the other. And that goes either way. The really cool thing is God gives you the choice. He gives you the choice and He gives me the choice of which direction we're going to go. United States Treasury agents, when they are coming through training, they are never given a counterfeit $100 bill. They are only given real $100 bills. And they are encouraged to study them and learn them and get familiar with them and become so familiar with every part of that $100 bill. So that when they are out in the field and a counterfeit is handed to them, they will recognize that it is not the real thing. Instantly. They never look at counterfeit bills to learn them so they would recognize them. They focus on the real thing. Habits. Over and over again, doing the right thing. Nobody gets to the Olympics by saying, maybe I'll just... Nobody gets to the Olympics that way. Successful people are just normal people who decide to develop good habits that will take them for the rest of their lives. Successful people. Biblical principles, listen. Biblical principles work in everybody's life if they will apply them, whether they are a believer or not a believer. If a non-believer will take biblical principles and live by them, they will reap the benefits of those principles. Successful people, just normal people who decide to develop good habits, and it takes them for the rest their lives. Tom Brady. We're Cardinals fans, most of us. Some of us don't love Jesus as much, but we're mostly Cardinals fans. So we're not all that crazy about Tom Brady. But here's what you have to give Tom Brady. Tom Brady started playing football. Look, some of his teammates actually weren't even alive when he started playing football. He's got to be one of the greatest quarterbacks in football in the NFL today. He's got to be. I'm not a Brady fan, but you have to give him that. And not only is he probably the best quarterback, he's one of the oldest players in the NFL today. How do you stay to be one of the absolute best and still be one of the oldest? How do you do that? Tom Brady has a list of habits and disciplines that he will not jump past. He does every single one of them. He starts his day off in the morning drinking a 20-ounce glass of water first thing. We would go crazy if we didn't have our 8 ounces of coffee. He starts his day off with a 20-ounce glass of water. And there's a whole list of things that he does to stay in shape physically, mentally, and emotionally. And he lives in the benefits of those habits. Look what Paul writes to the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians, he says this, all athletes train hard and practice to get better. They do it to win a prize that won't last. But us, we practice to win a prize that will last forever. Does that make you willing to, as we step into these 7 weeks, to learn a few new habits, or actually begin to practice some of the ones we already know? I'm stoked about these. And there's a couple of basics. Meeting here on Sundays is a big deal. In a large worship group, it's a big deal. Many of us meet in small groups. We meet in life groups throughout the week. My challenge to us as our church family, to really get everything out of this that God has for us. Let's make sure that we're here on Sundays. Let's make sure that we're in our life group meetings. The notes that you take on Sunday mornings, bring them to your life group meetings. And your life group leaders have a material to lead that group. And together, we'll allow God to change. But also, let's be willing to give God 5, maybe 10, maybe 15 minutes every single day. Acts chapter 2, look what Luke writes. He said, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying all the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There's no doubt in my mind that God is at work at the heart and life of our children and of our church, rather, and our children. And we as a church, we need to be willing to step. Let's step into this as a church family. Number 4, we help each other grow. We help each other grow. You cannot grow spiritually all by yourself. You just can't do it. You may think you can. You just can't do it. Romans 1:12. I want us to help each other with the faith that we have. Your faith will help me and my faith will help you, he says. It is iron sharpening iron. I talk often about the one another's in Scripture. There's 56 one another's and many of them are repeated over and over again. Care for one another. Help one another, encourage one another, love one another, pray for one another, be there for one another. See, and that's what Jesus did. In all the religions of the world, the leader of the religion is usually some secluded person who's away and either in a monastery or any number of situations, and that's where they withdraw to, and they're by themselves. Jesus, by themselves. Jesus was never like that. Jesus was in the crowd. He was with people. He wasn't in a cave. He was in the marketplace. Jesus was at the parties. He was at the weddings. Jesus was the original wedding crasher. He crashed a wedding and he turned their water into wine. The religious people of his day, they called him a wine bibber because he hung around with these kind of people. He was out there with the people. You and I are called to learn to love God and to love others. We do that in a rich way in our life groups. And let me tell you, if you're not in a life group, here's the deal. If you're not in a life group, we're gonna give you the opportunity to test drive a life group. On Wednesday nights at 6:30, we will be having a life group right here at Camelback. And you can just grab one of the cards in the seat in front of you and say, I'd like to be a part of the life group. Give us your name, phone number, or email, whatever. We'll get in touch with you. You do not want to go through, especially, look, try it for these 8 weeks. Just try it for 8 weeks. Now, just give. Let's throw that much. If you're not in a life group, let's throw that much into it. If you're in a life group, don't miss your life groups as we go through all of these series. I know that some of you just don't want to be in a life group. But the very reason that you don't want to be in a life group is the very reason you need to be in a life group. The biggest fight, I don't know if I'm going to tell this to the second service, the biggest fight Karen and I ever had in South Florida, ever had, period, happened in South Florida. Do you know why we had a fight? Argument. I mean, we didn't, you know. She desperately wanted us to join five or six other couples together because they were launching a life group. And I didn't want to be in a life group. Your pastor did not want to be in a life group. Biggest fight we ever had. At a red light, she got up and left the car. It took me a while to find her. Because I didn't want, the very reason you don't want to go to a life group is the reason you need to be in a life group. Look at Hebrews. Let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love and to do good. Let us not give up the habit, circle the word habit. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let's encourage one another all the more. Number five, expect God to grow. I'll go through these next two real quickly. Expect God to grow. Or expect to grow, sorry. Expect to grow. Jesus said this in Matthew 9. According to your faith, it will be done to you. Do you realize that God blesses your life according to your faith? And you may struggle with this statement, but let me give it to you because, frankly, I've struggled with it in the past. God will do what you expect him to do. He will do. This is the faith factor. For some of us, we have to get to a place where we finally begin to understand and just embrace this. God, he will do exactly what you really expect him to do. So if you're going to pray for something and you're going to think, he's not going to do that, you're right. He's not. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, the Bible says. See, God doesn't move when we complain or when we moan or when we're griping. But listen, God will move heaven and earth if he sees that you trust him. If God recognizes, and believe me, he can see. If he sees that we trust him, he'll move heaven and earth. It's absolutely every miracle that he ever performed was because somebody believed. When you accepted, you think, I don't have any faith. Let me hold it. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you placed your faith in him. He's your heavenly Father. He's your Lord and Savior. He cares about you so much more than you even care about yourself. And he's just waiting for your relationship with him to move forward where you're trusting him more. Number six is commit to grow. Don't just intend to grow. Do the things you need to do to grow. For some of us here this morning, that means simply making the commitment. You know what? Over the next 7 weeks, I'm really going to pay attention on Sundays. Not that I think you sleep anyway, but I'm really going to pay attention. I'm going to take my notes, and I'm going to head to life groups. I'm going to have my notes with me. And some of you do that with your phones. Whatever learning style works for you. Intend to grow. Do you know why? Because growth is a choice. It's a choice. You don't pray and ask God to help me grow and do nothing because you won't grow. But if by faith you expect to grow and you take the steps, even if you're struggling with that faith factor, if you take the steps, growth is a choice. It is not automatic. A year from today, so see, and for us, whether it's a year, even the next 8 weeks, 8 weeks from today, I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to grow. Because the truth is that you are as close to God as you choose to be. And I'm as close to God as I choose to be. And I don't always make the best choices in staying close to God. Well, but James, if my wife would just, if my husband would just, or my if my parents would just, if my boyfriend would just, well, good luck with that. It is time to stop blaming somebody else. Jeremiah 29:13. You'll find me when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else. Listen, as your pastor, guys, I'm looking forward to these 7 weeks, and I'm expecting God to work in your life, and I'm expecting God to work in my life in all 7 of these areas. I want us to head into these 7 weeks with that kind of a mindset. See, when we say, I have to grow, and we commit to doing these things, we will grow. I'm tired of being a spiritual baby. I'm tired of living my life being driven by my fears, my worries, and my anxieties. I'm just tired. I'm ready to grow past that. I'm ready to move out of depression. The epitome of immaturity, listen to this, the epitome of immaturity is the guy or the girl who won't commit to anything. While our church is going through this, are you going to step into these next weeks and not commit? I guarantee. Listen, in life, you need to commit to things to move forward. And if you don't join the rest of us and commit, you will stay immature. You will make bad decisions, and you will live your life in light of those and as the result of those decisions. Bottom line is, what are you going to do these next 7 weeks? Church, as we go through them, let's be praying. Let's not forget about those 3 weeks we talked about before Easter. Let's take those 3 weeks and let's apply them. Listen, all this takes is us doing it. Let's take those 3 weeks we talked about prayer. Let's begin to pray. Let's be willing to allow God what he wants to do in the heart and life of our church. Listen, our nation and our community needs renewal. Our nation and our community needs real joy. Our nation and our community needs a spirit and a sense of prayer and love. Are you going to miss out, or are you going to join in? That's the question. And over the next 7 weeks, I will tell you, I will challenge you. I will challenge me. We will open up God's word together, look at these 7 areas, and you're going to hear from so many of our different team members. You're going to enjoy every bit of this in that sense. But it's an opportunity for us to allow God to change areas in our lives that will affect us for the rest of our lives and for eternity. Let's stand together this morning. How many of you are looking forward for the next 7 weeks? You know, the really cool thing is, God is at work. He will do what he sets his mind to do. He will respond to us as we are willing. I'm looking forward for 7 weeks. I'm looking forward. You're going to hear our team teach. It's going to be a really, really good time. If you want to be in a life group, grab a card or stop out at the welcome desk. Be here Wednesday night if you're not in a life group. Let's celebrate together as we come out of Easter, but yet we're stepping forward to a richer, deeper, fuller walk with Christ, allowing him to be on the throne of our lives. Lord, thank you so much. Bless us, Lord. Bless our church family. Father, I pray for our hearts here this morning. All of us standing here before you, nothing about our hearts that you don't know. You know, the pain that some of us are going through, you know, the joys that some of us are going through. And Father, we see the excitement in so many areas in our church right now. God, I pray for your continued blessing. I pray for your Holy Spirit to be just wrapped around us as we as a church family willingly move toward you in every area of our lives. And we do it in your name, and in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Guys, our team's up here. We'd love to pray with you this morning.